Well, I welcome you again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Thank you for joining in today for this recording and going to be with us to study the Word of God, the precious and wonderful words of the living God, our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. So today we're going to go back into our study of the letter R, which is study number 18 that we began last week. There we go, last week again, our last recording. We begin that, study number 18, the letter R, the return of Jesus Christ, which is one of the most prominent doctrines in the Scriptures, both Old and New Testament, and one of the things that the Bible talks to us about and tells us that is definitely going to be a big event, and probably the biggest event ever is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of all the things that are going to be accomplished and fulfilled when he comes and does that. And speaking of being fulfilled, we just to do a little recap, the first thing that we began talking about was the promise of Christ coming, if you remember. And does the Bible promise us that Jesus Christ is coming back? Yes, it does. It says it. We talked about five or six scriptures, and there are many more, many more than that. I think we talked about 100, and I can't remember, 150 or so prophecies and that are yet to be, there's a bunch yet to be fulfilled. I don't know all these details exactly, but I have studied them and ran through them and seen where my mentors have taught about these prophecies, but I haven't really gotten that deep into prophecies. I'm staying more the ABCs of learning what the Bible says. And if you believe the Bible, you don't have to be a real deep smart. And I'm not against the people that are, but you don't have to be that. You don't have to make that one of your goals to be some kind of whatever you want to call it, a scholar or professor or doctor or whatever. One of my mentors is a doctor of theology, and you know where he's got his doctorate degree? And he said he thinks it's in his sock drawer. So, you know, and he's the one that taught me how to soul win, taught me how to go to prisons and preach to the ones that are captive, and to street preach. And many things that are vital to being a Christian, and vital to having the right kind of heart and being Christ-like. Having a title before your name or after your name don't mean diddly squat. The Lord said that the Lord looks different than men. Men look on the outward appearance, and one of the outward appearances is how your name appears. How many letters or how many letters do you have after your name and blah blah blah. I'm not against all that. I'm against people bragging about it and thinking that they're somebody and better than other people because of their education, and expect people to bow down and worship them because they think that they know more about God than anybody else in the world. The Lord brags that we should have childlike faith. He said that a child could have more faith than a scholar by just believing God. You ever heard two little kids standing there, maybe not nowadays, but because children have been, they've been hidden from the Lord. The society and the world and the enemy has hidden God from the generations that are coming up now. That's why it's so important for us to say God's name in front of them and let society know that we're not ashamed of him, and that he does exist, and he is, because people talk about him. But two children be standing there talking, and one of them will say, well, God can't do that. And the other one will defend God and say, yes, he can. And they'll get almost in a fist fight because of it. And they're not talking about the DNA and talking about what the moon rocks look like and evidence of the stratus and blah-bitty-blob and all that stuff. They're just arguing about what God can do. They have one business, one fight about whether God exists. They fight about what he can do and what he can't do, you know, things like that. But like I said, this is the ABCs, and I'm not I'm not a real smart fellow, but I do love the Lord, and I love what He's taught me, and I love what He's turning me into, and being very patient with me and very kind to me. And I'm sure you can agree with that, and in your own walk with the Lord and how kind He's been to you. We praise Him. But we're talking about His Word and the promise of His coming. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and the world doesn't care. I think in the back of their minds and way, 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 the Bible says they're without excuse. Nature itself doth teach us, the Bible says. So every person on this planet has it built in them that God exists. Whether they deny it and go completely against it and apostatize and just do all the things that somebody would want to on purpose be against God and talk about how stupid people are for believing in God, way down deep in them, they know better. The Bible says they do. But the promise of His coming is in the Scriptures. Now, that's what we're studying in the ABCs of Christian growth, is what saith the Lord. What does the Bible say? Okay. The Bible does say and does promise us that Christ is coming back, and something that we should be looking for and praying for. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We shouldn't have anything going on in our life, in this life, in this body, on this earth, that's so important that you wouldn't be ready to leave this very instant if you had the offer. If the Lord said, I'm giving you opportunity right now, if you want to come, come. If you don't, you can stay there another 20 years. What would you do? I'd be gone in an instant. I'd say, Lord, take me right now. I'm ready to go. Not to mock Him and not to mock the Lord about death and things like that, but just talking about the opportunity to be with the Lord. Paul spoke of that, remember? Paul spoke of that. We should look forward to being with the Lord and can't wait to be with Him. That's the idea of us walking in the Spirit and getting our minds and our hearts and our faith in such an attitude that we are waiting on home. We want to go home. That's the thing. Well, the promise is in there that Christ is coming and He's going to take us home. But He's coming several different times. He's coming two times. Two other times. He's come once. And it was in two stages also. But we're going to talk about that. The last recording, we talked about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we went through that. And mostly we talked about prophecy, if you remember. We read lots of Scripture. And I give those to you. Hopefully you went back over them. But there's much, much, much more prophecy concerning the Lord's coming, and concerning the Lord and the prophets in the Old Testament. They prophesied, and the apostles in the New Testament and the writers in the New Testament wrote how they seen it fulfilled before their eyes. So the Bible is not just a book. It is the book. It liveth and abideth forever, the Bible says. Now, let's today go into this subject, or this branch of our study, if you will, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be in two stages. We talked about the first coming, but now let's talk about the second coming. Has the second coming happened yet? No, it hasn't. Now, we talked about a word called Advent. Advent. Last time we were together and studying, and we talked about the first Advent. Well, Advent is just that the Lord's leaving. Advent means that the Lord leaves His domain and comes into our comes into time. He comes into our domain, into humankind, into our realm, if you will. Where God lives is in the third heaven. And the first Advent, the Lord left heaven and He came down and was born of a virgin, but He came down all the way to earth and actually touched the earth. That's called an Advent. Okay, there will be another Advent called the second Advent, and that is where the Lord's going to actually come down and touch the earth. But it's not going to be the first part that's going to happen in this second coming of the Lord. The first part of the first coming, it was, if you will, in two different stages. Now, I mentioned something last time that there were private, that things happened with the Lord Jesus Christ that were private in the first coming. In other words, his birth was private. And then I said that the second coming is going to be public. Well, both of those are true, but I didn't give you the other part, but I will today. In a sense, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was in two stages. He was born, he was in the cradle, and then he was born of a virgin. He was he came and incarnated. He took on a human body, and then 30 years later, he went to the cross. Two different things that happened. Okay, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as a babe to Bethlehem was a private event. There were very few people that had anything to do with the Lord's birth. I mean, there was Joseph, and then there was his mother Mary, and there were some animals, and there was, well, let's look at some scripture. Luke chapter 2, verse 25, the Bible, well, Luke chapter 2, verse 25 and verse 36 through 38, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. So this woman was in her 90s, suppose somewhere around that, almost 100 probably, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. These were two people that were waiting on the consolation of Israel. And what's the consolation of Israel? The coming of the Messiah that the Bible talked about, the Old Testament talked about. They knew that the Messiah was coming. They just didn't know how and know when. And they were waiting for it. These were two people, Simeon and this one woman, Anna. And both of them got to see the Lord born. And these were two of the people that actually got to see. They were waiting on him and got to see him. See, the first, when the Lord was born, it was a private event. Also, the Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2, listen to this. "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" So the birth of Jesus Christ, Anna and the elderly prophetess Anna, and the man Simeon, and then the Bible records that these men came, wise men came from the east of Jerusalem, and inquired from Herod of Herod to find out where the baby was born that was going to be King of the Jews. So they came. All right, there wasn't they came to find him. All right, so very few people were there and present or in the realm of Christ's birth. It was private. The coming of Jesus as a baby to Bethlehem was a private event, unnoticed by the world at large. The world didn't care. They were going up and down the street, opening and closing businesses, making money, turning, doing this, doing that, plowing the fields, everything going on, and it was just another baby that was born, but it was born in a manger. Somebody might have noticed, hey, that woman's having a baby in the manger. But the place was so crowded, they didn't have no room in the hotels. So it said in the inn, remember? And so the Lord was born in a manger, and his cradle was a feed trough. So he came very humbly, didn't he? Okay, but it was private. Now, relatively few got to share the joy of the moment. I mean, the Lord was born in the flesh, God in the flesh. That should have been a big celebration for that, and that's what the consolation of Israel was. Israel was waiting on that, but they were expecting something a little different than what the Lord planned. They were expecting probably like the second advent to come busting out of the sky with great glory and honor and all of this, and he came riding a donkey and was born and riding a donkey and then was crucified. And they killed him, and they denied him, and they turned him away. Their Messiah, God in the flesh, they turned him away. But the first part of this, now we're talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first coming was in two stages. He was born, and then he went to the cross of Calvary. But when our Lord hung on Calvary's cross, it was public. It wasn't private. Man, there must have been, it talks about the Roman soldiers being there. It talks about the women being there that followed Christ. It talks about the apostles being there. It talks about the priests being there, going around mocking him, remember? It talks about the thieves that were crucified with him. I bet there was thousands there. I can't say for sure there's thousands, but I bet there were thousands there because it stirred up all of Jerusalem. I mean, there were Romans. The Romans were involved in it. The Jewish parliament, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the Jewish top dogs, they were involved in it. Everybody was involved in it. Everybody knew about this, either Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah that was born, or either the deceiver and the traitor and the mocker and the criminal that was being crucified. Lots and lots of people. It was public. And it was public that he was crucified along with a couple thieves. And the Romans didn't do anything half-hearted. I mean, when they had an execution, I mean, it was a big event. And they killed a person to cause fear. They done things in a manner to where they caused fear in society so that, well, I'm not going to be like him, you know. But it was the second part of the first coming was the crucifixion. And it was a public display and in view of everybody. Well, so too, like the first coming, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be in two distinct stages, just like the first one was. The first one was being born in a cradle, from the cradle to the cross. And the cross was the second part of the first coming, second phase of it. He was born in the flesh, and then he was crucified. And they killed his flesh. They put his flesh to death. And Jesus died for our sins on purpose. No, he said, no man taketh my life, I lay it down. And he did. Okay, now the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has not happened yet, either stage of it, is yet to happen. But very close. There's been preachers for hundreds of years so far that have been preaching the near coming of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And there's something else. Now, it'll be in two distinct stages, and there are two words that distinguish these two stages. Now, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was the cradle where he was born and the cross where he was put to death. Okay, and in between that was about 30 years. Well, there's going to be a time period between the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first part of it is called the rapture. Now, rapture is not a scriptural word. It's not in the Bible. You won't find it. It's not there. But it describes best, and it's been held, it's been called that from way back before, you know, I mean, your father knew it, your grandfather knew it, and everybody else, the Christians call this event the rapture. But what it's called in the Bible, there is no name for it in the scripture. It just describes the event. But what some people call it is the catching away, because the Bible does use the word caught up. We shall be caught up The Lord's going to say, come up hither. We shall be caught up, the Bible says. So the catching away is called or named the rapture. Now, nothing wrong with calling it that if you want to call it that, but there is no name in these verses that we're about to read that describe the rapture. Now, that's the first event. And then the second event of Christ's second coming, you staying with me? The second part or the second event of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is called the revelation. You have the rapture and you have the revelation. Neither one of them have happened yet, but the next thing on the schedule in the Bible is the rapture. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first phase, is called the rapture. The second phase of the second coming is called the revelation. And in between the rapture and the revelation, just like the first coming was 30 years in between or about there, there'll be 7 years in between the rapture and the revelation. Now, the rapture is actually Christ coming for his saints. He's coming for the church. That's us. That's the born-again, baptized believers that are born into the body of Christ, born into the family of God. The church, the Bible talks about, the New Testament church that Christ come and died for. He died for all men, but before the Lord was crucified, that's what he began, was the body of Christ, was the church through the apostles. And it has multiplied since then, and if you're born again, you're one of them. You're part of it. And that's what the New Testament talks about mostly, is, and the Pauline epistles talks about and gives us truth and instructs us and teaches us, is the church. Is the church. Christ coming for his saints. Now, the second phase of the second coming of Jesus Christ is called the revelation, and that is Christ coming with his saints. In other words, the rapture is when the Lord comes and takes the body of Christ, takes the bride. It's called many things. It's called the bride. It's called the church. It's called the body of Christ. That's us. It's not a it. It's a who. It's an organism. It's people. It's the body of Christ. All of us together as one. No Jew, no Gentile, all are the same in the body of Christ, the Bible says. Okay, so the Lord comes, and this is not an advent. Remember what I told you what an advent was? It's when the Lord actually comes into our time, into our realm, and he touches the earth. Well, the first part of the second coming, the rapture, he's not going to touch the earth. It says he's coming just like he left, but he's not going to touch the earth. We shall be caught up to meet him in the air. He's going to come back, and he's going to catch us away. We're going to leave this earth. We're going to go to be with him, but we're going to meet him in the air. He's not coming to the earth. Okay, and then we're going to be gone with him and go to be where he is. The Lord prayed for that and asked the Father that we could be where he was, and that's what's going to happen. So that's the first part. And then the second part is 7 years later, after all of the things that are going to happen on the earth have happened and are happening, and then all of the things that are in heaven and the events that are in heaven have happened, all of this is going to happen for about 7 years. And then when it's time, the Lord's going to turn and come back, and we're going to come with him, and he's coming. And that's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's going to reveal himself to the entire world, and that's going to be a public exhibition. Every eye shall see him, the Bible says. Now, that first coming, or not the first coming, but the first phase of the second coming, the rapture, it's going to be a private event. The world's going to know about it, that millions disappeared. But they're not going to know why, and they're not going to see Christ, and they're not going to hear him, and they're not going to know anything. It's going to be private. It's just going to be the Lord Jesus Christ and his body. the church, us, that's going to hear him when he commands us to come up hither. And we're going to leave this earth and we're going to go up there to be with him, and it's going to be private. But now 7 years later on the Revelation, that's going to be public. It says the heavens are going to roll back, and every eye is going to see him and behold and see him. And the Bible says he's coming to make war, to make it. Not to ask somebody if they want to fight. He's coming to make a fight. He's coming. Okay, so two different things of the same, two events, two phases of the same event. The rapture and the revelation. That's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so let's stop right there and let's talk about the rapture. That's the first phase. Remember what the phases are? There's two phases. Just like the first coming, what are the two phases of the first coming? Christ being born and Christ being crucified. One of them was private. One of them was public. Okay? Now, the second coming, what are the two phases of the second coming? The rapture of the church, that's us, Christ coming to get us. And it is not an advent. He's going to come and get us, and we're going to meet him in the clouds. He's not going to touch the earth. But 7 years later, the second one, the revelation, he is coming to touch the earth. He's coming to make war, and he's going to fight on the earth, and we are too. And he's going to set up his kingdom after that, here on the earth. Yes, it's called the millennium. But we'll get into that too. But let's stop right there and back up, and let's begin talking about the rapture, the first phase of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is the next event on God's prophetic calendar. The next thing that's supposed to be happening. This is what we're waiting on. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's what's going to happen. But he's not coming down here and everybody to see him. When Jesus comes this next time, he's coming in the clouds, the Bible says, and we're going to meet him in the air. And the Bible also says, like we was talking about, that the rapture, the term rapture, is not found in the Bible, but its meaning is supposed to be caught up. And there's no reason to doubt it. I don't mean supposed to be as in doubting it. I mean, it's called caught up. Now, there's another definition for rapture, as in, it's like, rapture is like, it's kind of like when we are caught up. We're not, we're waiting on the Lord, but we're not expecting it, because people don't rise off the ground and fly into the air thousands and thousands of feet up into the clouds. It don't happen every day. Excuse me. So when it does happen, and we do see the Lord with our own eyes, we're just going to have so much joy that there is a definition for rapture that means just overwhelming joy. It's rapture that we get to see the Lord, and the joy, and this thing is finally happening. Okay, it means that also, but it means caught up. So the term rapture is not in the scripture, but that doesn't mean that what it's talking about is not so, because the event is in the scriptures. Let's look at it. There are three different portions of scripture that this particular event called the rapture is describes, and that's when we go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ by his command when he comes to get us. The first one's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 through 18. Here's what it says. But I would not have you to be ignorant. This is Paul talking. He says, this is something I want you to know. I don't want you to not know this. I want you to know this. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. You see who he's talking to. That's us, the bride, the church, the body of Christ. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now he's talking about the people that have already passed away. Their bodies are in the grave. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. There's what makes it valid right there. By the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, if the rapture was to happen right now while we're studying, we which are alive are not going to stop the ones that have died in the Lord and their bodies are in the grave and they went to be with the Lord, their souls did, but their bodies are in the grave. Paul's saying that we're not going to prevent them. The Lord's going to bring them with him also. For listen what he says. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So the first ones that are coming out of the grave, them graves are going to bust open, and them bodies are going to come out, and they're going to be changed, and they're coming out first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You see why this is not an advent, the second advent? This is part of the second coming, but it's not the second advent because the Lord, we're going to meet the Lord in the air. The second advent is at the end of this event, the revelation of Jesus Christ, because he will come to the earth and he will touch it. Okay, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Isn't that neat? So there's a promise right there that this event, it didn't say rapture, but it did say the event and describe the event. And what's the event? That the Lord Jesus Christ is going to descend from heaven. He, with the trump of God, and the Bible says that the dead are going to come out of the grave. The Lord's going to say, come up hither. The dead are going to come out of the grave, and everybody that's saved and in the body of Christ is going to rise, and we're going to go to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a promise. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, that's the next thing to happen. Here's another one. 1 Corinthians, this is kind of a verse that backs up 1 Thessalonians. They run parallel with each other and talk about the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52. Listen what it says. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The Lord's going to change our bodies. The people that have died, their souls are with the Lord. They're going to come back with the Lord, and they're going to be reunited with those bodies that come out of those graves that are going to be changed and turned from corruptible to incorruptible, and they're going to get their bodies, and our bodies are going to be changed, and we're going to all meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord forever. Isn't that neat? What a promise. Two different places so far. The Bible talks about the rapture of the saints. Here's another one. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You see, there's another promise that we're waiting for the Savior, and that our bodies, you don't have to worry about going and the Bible says bodily exercise is not all that profitable, but godliness is profitable. You go out and you exercise that body, and it's still going to go to the dirt. It's going to grow old, and it's going to die, and it's going to go back to the dirt. The dust, just like the Lord said. That's if you live long enough, that's what you can expect. The Lord has said it. That body is vile. It ain't no sex symbol, and all these people deceiving themselves, thinking that there's something walking around naked and half naked and wicked. They're deceiving their own stinking selves. It's just a bunch of wickedness is what it is, because they're walking around with a vile body on them that's headed back to the dirt. The worms are going to get it. And if we live long enough, that's what's going to happen to us. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When you die, you will separate from that body, and your body will go right back to the dirt. And there ain't one that hasn't. You're going to be wise on me, and you're going to say like maybe Elijah or something like that, or Enoch. Well, you're right, but everybody else has. You're going to be one of them too, and me too, if the Lord doesn't come back and this event doesn't take place before we die and we separate from these bodies. Because you're not going to keep that body. You can't keep that body. That body's wicked. It's sinful. It's vile. And it's got to go. It's got a curse on it. It's going to go back to the dirt, the dust. The Lord's already said that, and that's what's going to happen. But he also said in the last three verses that we read that we have a promise that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, called the rapture of the church, the catching away, and we shall be caught up to meet him in the air, and we shall be changed, and our vile bodies shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Do you believe that? You should. Because that's what the Bible says. So there's the first phase of the second coming, the rapture. Now let me ask you some questions by the scripture that we've read, and let's answer them with true or false. You ready? Here's the first one. Now I'm going to just make a statement, and you tell me, according to the scriptures that we have just read, whether it's true or whether it's false. Okay? Here's the first one. The rapture is an instantaneous event, meaning it happens immediately. I mean, it's instantaneous. It's not drug out or anything. It's just right away. Is that true or false? Now, what does the Bible say? It's true, isn't it? Why is it true? Because of the scripture that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. It said, but I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye. That's how fast it's going to happen. Now, it didn't say a blinking of an eye. It said the twinkling of an eye. The twinkling of an eye is how long it takes light to bounce off of your eye. And that's very, very fast. It's not the people that tried to... I got a little piece of paper in this study. As a matter of fact, it's part of the written part of this study that I put on the paper. And if you want that, you're welcome to it. All you have to do is email me and I'll send them to you. And there's the studies that we're actually studying right now. But there's three things that the eye does. It blinks and it winks and it twinks. And all three of those are completely different time that it takes for that to do it. For you to wink, it takes a certain amount of time. For you to blink, it takes a certain amount of time. And the twinkling of an eye is definitely a very small timetable. It's like, I don't even know. I got it written down and I looked at it and somebody done the math on it. But it's a lot faster than we can say it. But that's how fast this thing's going to happen. That's how fast this thing's going to happen. And it's going to be private and we're out of here. That fast. So y'all that are sitting there drinking your beer, you better hope you're not holding it up there and taking a swallow just about the time that the Lord, or maybe you're drawing on one of them cigars or cigarettes, and then you blow it out, and there you are right in front of the Lord up in the air right there, and you you know, the Lord says that we not be caught sleeping, that we not be ashamed at his coming. And some of the things that I've been involved in as a Christian, I would have been ashamed that the Lord had come and caught me doing that. So we need to be found waiting on Him, see, and not be ashamed at His coming. Okay, here's another one. The rapture concerns only deceased Christians, that is, only those who sleep in Christ. Is that true or is that false? That's false. The rapture concerns more. It not only concerns the deceased Christians, the ones who sleep in Christ, but it concerns us too, we which are alive and remain. Remember what it said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I think it was around verse 14 or 15, the Bible says, Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them from which them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the answer is false. The rapture concerns only deceased Christians, that is, only those who sleep in Christ. That's false. It also concerns the ones that are still alive and remain. Here's another one. You ready? At the rapture, the Lord sends His angels to gather the saints and bring them to heaven. Is that what the Bible said? That would be false, wouldn't it? Why would it be false? It didn't say nothing about no angels, did it? But there's some of the religions out there that say the angels are going to come. And they are going to come, but not at this event. See, that's why you got to rightly divide that Bible. You got to make sure you know what you're talking about when you're talking about these events. Because the Bible does talk about the angels coming and gathering saints, but it's not this event. This event says that the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Did you read that? You remember? The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The Lord Himself is coming to get us. So that answer would be false, wouldn't it? Here's another one. You ready? At the rapture, believers, that is, saints, will be caught up into the air to meet Christ. Is that true or false? And what does the Bible say? That would be true, wouldn't it? Why is it true? Because the Bible says that. What does it say? Well, the Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." That's what the Bible says. So we can believe that and know that that is truth, and that that is what God has had written for us to believe. So is it true or false? It's true. At the rapture, believers, that is, saints, will be caught up into the air to meet Christ. You know, all you got to do is look over your head. You don't think Christ can... It's not every day. I mean, you watch your television and you see Superman taking off into the air. Well, Jesus Christ is the real Superman. He has the power to back up what He says. That fellow that's played Superman, he's already gone back to the dust. He didn't have the power to stay Superman. Jesus Christ is Superman. He's the real Superman because He's God in the flesh, you see. At the rapture, believers will be caught up into the air to meet Christ. Now, you look up in the air sometime when you're just sitting there. You ought to look at the sky more often. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The Bible says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. You ought to look up in the sky every now and then when you see them planes flying over and leaving them trails behind them. And you think of how much that plane weighs and that man has the ability to build one of them and make that thing go that far up into the sky. And if you've ever ridden in a plane, you are actually up in the air above the clouds. So it's not impossible and unthinkable and just a fable that man can be up in them clouds. He can make himself go up in them clouds. So why wouldn't the Lord be able to speak the word and you rise right off the ground in the twinkling of an eye and meet the Lord in the air? Why wouldn't you believe that? Especially since your Lord's word says so. And that's the real reason we ought to believe it. It's just because God said so. At the rapture, believers will be caught up into the air to meet Christ. Yes, that's true. We got two more. Let me read you two more. Here's number five. At the rapture, all Christians, living and dead, will receive a glorified resurrection body. Is that true or false? Well, it's true. Well, how do you know it's true? Because the Bible says so. Let's see where it says it. All right. At the rapture, all Christians, living and dead, will receive a glorified resurrection body. In 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52, we read, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And then in another place that we read already, it said that well, that was 1 Corinthians, I think I read right there. 1 Corinthians 15, yes. Okay. And it says that we shall be changed and our vile bodies. That's Philippians. There we go. Philippians chapter 3 says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. In other words, Jesus ain't just giving lip service. He gave us his word, and he said that when he comes back at this rapture, the first phase of the second coming, when he comes to get us, the church, the people that have trusted in Jesus Christ and believed his word, when he comes to get us, he's going to change these vile bodies, and they're going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And we're going to put on, they're going to be incorruptible instead of corruptible like they are now. If you don't think your body's corruptible, you just wait a few years and watch how that body, watch what that body does. All them joints will start tightening up and cracking and popping, and all that skin will start wrinkling up, and your organs will start misbehaving, and you, huh? Yeah. Bile bodies. So quit walking around showing off part of your body because it's vile. Cover it up. The Bible says that we are to cover these things. They're shameful. They're vile. The Bible says the only thing that nakedness has anything to do with is in the marriage bed. The Bible says that the marriage bed is undefiled. But all other nakedness is wicked. Cover yourself. Now, the last one we want to talk about this rapture, about this catching away, about this second coming, first phase of the second coming, is this. According to Matthew 24:42, the rapture will be announced to give us time to get ready. Is that true or false? Now, we haven't read Matthew 24:42 yet. Let me read it to you. The Bible says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Now let me read that statement again. According to Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, the rapture will be announced to give us time to get ready. Well, how are you going to get ready if you're pretty good at getting ready if you can get ready in the twinkling of an eye? Most of us can't get ready for nothing, even in a winking or a blinking, much less a twinking. No, that's false. You're not going to have time to get ready. Your time to get ready is now, and that's what you're doing studying God's Word. You're getting ready. And God bless you for that. The Lord honors them that honor Him and honor His Word. And that's what you're doing today, is honoring His Word. And we're learning about the rapture, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's recap just a little bit. The topic that we started today, now last recording we talked about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and before that the promises of His coming. Does the Bible promise that He's coming back? Yes, it does. Well, He came back the first time, and the first time was in two phases, the cradle and the cross. He was born of a virgin. He lived 33 and a half years on the earth and then went to the cross of Calvary and was crucified. That was the first coming accomplished. The second coming is in two stages also, one of them private and one of them public. The private part of it is the first phase called the rapture. And it could take place any time now. It's going to be taking place in the twinkling of an eye, instantaneously. A private event only for the church, the bride of Christ. If you're not born again, you're not going. You're staying here. Only born again, Bible believing. Well, let me rephrase that. Only born again people will go. People that are in the bride of Christ. The reason I said that was because there are a lot of born-again people that have been born again and trusted in Christ, but they have apostatized. They've left the truth. They've gone into the world or they're living wicked lives and they're not believing their Bible. The devil's intent and the world's intent and your flesh's intent are the enemy, and they want to take that Bible away from you. And they will if you let them. Don't you doubt that. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." He wants to take that Bible away from you, take your communication and your fellowship away from your Heavenly Father, and embarrass you in front of the world and shame you and do all that he can to keep you from serving the Lord and giving him glory, and especially winning anybody else from Christ and honoring his word. He hates you because of who you are and who you're affiliated with. The rapture of the saints. Good stuff. That's what we're waiting on, isn't it? So, one last thing. According to 2 Peter and chapter 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 9, the only reason the rapture has not taken place yet is that the Lord wants to save sinners. Is that true or false? Well, let's read the scripture and see what it says. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 9. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers." Boy, ain't they scoffing now? "Walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming?" In other words, how come the Lord hadn't come back like you said so, huh? "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. According to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 9, the only reason the rapture has not yet taken place is that the Lord wants to save sinners. Is that true or false? Well, stands to reason that it would be true, right? What other reason would the Lord not want to come and get his bride? It's because there are some people just like yourself and myself that were walking around lost and in darkness and without God in this world and couldn't find the Lord. And the Lord came to you, didn't he? Just like he did to me. And he saved me. And he saved you. And it was free, wasn't it? Absolutely free. Didn't cost you nothing. And he's been with you ever since, hasn't he? Me too. So praise him for that. But there are others that need to be born again. And there are some of you that need to repent and get right with the Lord and confess those sins and get right with your Heavenly Father and walk as children of light. The Bible says we are children of light. Walk ye as children of light. Amen. And the Bible says that your sins are forgiven and we ought to be about the Lord's business. We're bought with a price. You're not your own. Amen. All right, well, the next recording, we're going to go into the second phase of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is called what? You remember? The first phase is called the rapture. And that's private. And that's for the saints. The second phase is called what? It's called the revelation. The revelation. That's the second advent. That's when the Lord's actually going to come out of where he is, come into where the people on the earth are, into this realm, and actually touch the earth again. And he hasn't done that since the first coming, whenever he was born in the manger, God in the flesh. And after he was crucified and he ascended, he has not touched the earth yet until this event, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We'll talk about that the next time, okay, on our next recording. Good stuff, huh? All right, well, thank you for studying. Let me give you these scriptures. Are you ready? I almost forgot that. And you say, well, you have before. You're right. Okay. Well, here they are. Let's see here. I want to give these to you. We talked about the first coming. I give you all that, the first coming. So we began with the second coming. Luke chapter 2. Verse 25 and 36 through 38. Luke chapter 2, verse 25, 36 through 38. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 and 52. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 51 and 52. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 9. Okay, the next recording, we're going to talk about the revelation of Jesus Christ, the second phase of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This stuff ain't hard. It's ABC stuff, and the Lord wants us to know it all. All we have to do is study. Thank you for being part of this. God bless you for honoring the Lord and his word. Talk to you on the next recording. Bye-bye.